from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
We head out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline and welcome on a man whose voice you're going to hear tomorrow on Westwood One's coverage of Miami in Florida. 3:30 kick right here on 92.3 The Fan. Great college football analyst for Westwood One, Derek Rackley. Derek, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, we kind of got to start with Florida and Miami here. Yeah, there was a time where we could look down to Miami and say, why is Miami not on a level of Florida and Florida State like we're used to? Well, now it's all three teams. Why are none of these great, prominent Florida programs at the level their fans and maybe, you know, us commentators expect them to be?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think some of it has to do with recruiting has kind of fell to the wayside, and you could maybe tap Nick Saban on the shoulder and thank him for that, because him and Kirby Smart have kind of taken over the recruiting in the Southeast. And I would even say for a while, maybe not recently, for a while, Dabo Swinney was in that conversation as well. And those three guys kind of tag teamed and took some of the best competition in the Southeast. Whereas you kind of go back in the day, go back to the Steve Spurrier days, if you will, like there were times when the best talent in the state of Florida was not leaving the state of Florida. But what happens is you get this parity in college football, you get the opening of the transfer portal, and now guys are going somewhere different every single year. So it's not like they had that ability to kind of monopolize the state, which there was a time, and probably still to this day, where Florida ended up producing some of the best high school players in the country. So I think the fact that a lot of these programs are missing out on those players, they're going to Alabama, they're going to Georgia, they had been going to Clemson, is part of the reason why the playing field got leveled a little bit.
When it comes to Mario Cristobal and Billy Napier, the head coaches in this game that people are going to hear on our station tomorrow, I know they have the connection from Alabama. They're good friends from way back in the day. But who is in a better position to kind of reclaim their throne for their individual school?
Not saying that either of them have a tight grasp on that, but I would probably give a slight edge to Mario Cristobal for one major reason. And it's something I've been kind of looking at as I've been preparing for this game, is that Mario Cristobal has quietly put together two really good recruiting classes as far as rankings go, okay? I will always say this, that rankings are rankings. What do you do with the players once you get them on campus? Do you and your coaching staff have that ability to take them to the next level and make them even better players? Is the difference between you being a conference championship, a national championship contender, or another team that hovers around 500? Again, I'll throw the two names out that I said previously in Nick Saban and Kirby Smart. Those two guys would take really good recruits that came into their campus, and they would make them even better players. They would make them pros throughout the course of their career in those respective college uniforms. So right now, you have two top 10 classes. This past year, a top 5 class from Cristobal at Miami. So now can he and his staff take those highly touted players and make them a conference championship or national championship contending team? So that's the reason why I would say he's in the best position right now, because he might have better players than what Napier does.
Derek, we got a great weekend of college football that I want to get to, but last night was a very fun game. North Dakota State, Colorado eking out a victory. And I say that out of respect for North Dakota State, not to diminish what Colorado did, but how far did yesterday's win over North Dakota go to convince you year two of Deion and Boulder will look better than maybe year one did with that kind of collapse at the end of the season?
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of question marks around how, like, Deion was putting this thing together in Colorado. And, I was fortunate enough. I got to do his first game last year when he played at TCU. And to get a chance to see the team that got so much attention coming into the season. But you can just kind of tell that there were players here and there. But if you look at the lines of scrimmage, that's where things didn't look like big-time power football. And so I knew at some point that was going to run out. And I just also think that you got to be careful with this. The coaches that manage this transfer portal and how you're going to get these players to develop chemistry, the ones that are able to figure that out quickly are the ones that are going to have the most success. I still feel like that's the reason why you got some of the blue blood programs are doing the best, because they're doing it with their incoming freshmen. And a lot of them are staying there, the ones that obviously play a lot. But for Deion, it's just a matter of he had to do what he could do to get the most competitive product on the field. And then when you decide to schedule any team that's got North Dakota or South Dakota in it as your non-conference, you better be real careful, because those teams can flat out play. And I got a chance to do the FCS championship for a couple of years, and watching that versus watching FBS level football, you get really good FCS teams. There's not a huge gap, because those kids are system kids and they play it to the T. So the fact that he was able to pull out a win against them, I think is encouraging, because he's supposed to, right? But the fact that you schedule North Dakota State, who is a powerhouse at the FCS level, is a little bit dicey, but he was able to come out with a victory.
Derek Rackley, Westwood One college football analyst on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Miami versus Florida, 3:30 kick, courtesy of Westwood One on 92.3 The Fan tomorrow afternoon. But now we look forward here, and Travis Hunter is one heck of a player. And yet we don't know if Colorado is going to be above 500. If let's say Travis is continuing to be maybe the best player in college football, but Colorado doesn't get above 500, should the team record affect Heisman candidacy?
No, it should not, especially with him, because of how valuable. It's one thing to say a kid that's on a 500 team that plays wide receiver, that ends up the season with 91 catches and 1,600 yards and 15 touchdowns, right? Because, I can tell you, I'm a Biletnikoff Award voter. Sometimes you look past it because you're like, well, what about the competition? Or does he will his team to win games, right? It's easier with a quarterback. The ball's in his hands every single time. You know, Travis Hunter, that dominates on both sides of the ball, if he is able to continue to put up these type of numbers, I mean, what a game that he ends up having last night. And I saw him. I saw him last week, week one, and I was like, wow, I heard about this kid playing two ways. But he is legit. I mean, this kid is absolutely electric of a player. I don't know how he doesn't get tired. I know he's young. Got to give him a lot of credit for his physical conditioning. But the kid's an absolute stud.
Derek, how much of a chance do you give Clemson to upset Georgia?
Not really a whole lot. I got a chance to call both teams a number of times over the years. I don't have a stake in the game for either of them. I didn't go to either school. I didn't even play in the SEC. I just kind of call a spade as I see it. And I'm just a big fan of the way that Kirby Smart continues to coach his team. And I listen to the little things that he says in press conferences when people ask him questions. And obviously it's so reminiscent of Nick Saban, but it just seems like with Kirby Smart, if you don't play the game at 110% the level of what the coaching staff is expecting them. And to me, you can just tell when you listen to him speak that tenacity and playing ferocious is a requirement to play on the field for Georgia. If you don't play that way, you won't step out on the field. And if you don't compete every single day and earn a spot to get on the field for Georgia, you're not going to play, right? And I'm not saying that that's not what Dabo Swinney does at Clemson. I've just seen this trajectory of where Georgia's going. And again, I go back to the comment I made about Cristobal and Napier. Can you develop your freshmen and make them even better every single year when they come into your program? That's what I've seen from Kirby Smart at Georgia. Him and his staff continually takes a 4- and 5-star, and dare I say, make them 5- and 6-star caliber players because they end up going, just look at the NFL draft. Just look at the NFL draft, and that's all the evidence that you need to see.
Whether it's Clemson, Georgia, Notre Dame, A&M, a few ranked teams have what could be nice little challenges. We mentioned Miami and Florida, the game you're going to be on. Who do you think's on upset special this weekend?
You know, it's a good question because I spend so much time on the game that I'm doing. And so I don't know if I've got somebody on upset special. I mean, I think there's a really good chance that Florida wins this game, and they're the team that's not ranked and Miami is ranked. Is that a huge upset? Maybe not when you're looking at a 19th ranked Miami. But I just think that when you've got a returning quarterback coming back like Florida does, and the numbers that he put up last year, and you're playing inside of a stadium that's, you know, call it 88 to 90,000, you can get home field advantage on your side, and you're playing with a sense of desperation knowing that, you know, I'll just call it out, like, Billy Napier, it's a huge year for him. Like, he's got to win. Like, you've got to win this year if you want to keep this job at Florida, because that's what the expectation is. I think there's a really good chance that Florida comes out, plays inspired, and maybe they knock off a ranked Miami team for your upset.
Derek, looking here in Ohio, we're crazy about Ohio State, but still have questions about this alleged $20 to $30 million Ohio State team. What do you think is the biggest roadblock to an OSU title? Georgia, Oregon, Michigan, or perhaps the Buckeyes themselves?
I'm going to say Michigan because I've done the game over the last few years, and if you ask anybody inside that program, that's the biggest game on the schedule, period. Like, that is the most important game on that schedule. Yes, you can give me all the coaching innuendos that you want. The most important game is the next game, and the most important game is the game after that. Everybody that is a Buckeye fan or a Wolverine fan knows that that's the game that you circle on the schedule. And everything builds up to that, and everything catapults off of that. And, you know, give Michigan credit for the way that they've come prepared to play them the last couple of years. But to me, it's Michigan because it's always Michigan. And yeah, I like your comment that you made about Ohio State being the biggest roadblock in front of them, because sometimes it is. Sometimes you can't get out of your own way. You shoot yourself in the foot, or maybe you're not as good as everybody perceives you to be. But knowing that rivalry and knowing how those two programs prepare, everything centers around that game every single year.
With all that said, Ohio State and Georgia are the betting favorites to be the national champion. Who are you giving the advantage to?
I'm giving the advantage to Georgia. And again, I don't have any stake in it, but I will tell you that I live in the state of Georgia. So I probably get biased because of the state that I live in. But I'm going to give the edge to Kirby Smart and his program. The way that they continually play defense in and out, and everything that they have else they have coming back, I'm going to give the edge to the Bulldogs.
All right, one more, Derek, because we talked about the Saban retirement early in this. Who do you think in college football benefits most that Nick Saban decided to hang up his headset?
Everybody in the SEC. Every single coach in the SEC, their road gets just a little, and just a little bit easier. And I don't want to take anything away from Kalen DeBoer. I mean, he might end up putting together a powerhouse as he's there. But everybody in the SEC is able to sleep just a little bit better now.
That, it's probably true there. Although I'm sure Ohio State fans won't mind it as well. Derek, great stuff, man. Can't wait to hear on the call tomorrow. Florida, Miami, courtesy of our friends at Westwood One. You do such a great job, man, and cannot wait to hear it, and cannot wait for more great college football now that we head into week one.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Yeah, me too. Thanks a lot, guys.
Derek Rackley, Westwood One college football analyst, and I think he kind of summed it up there. It was funny. I wanted to ask him the Saban question earlier of, like, who benefits most. I actually think it's Georgia. Georgia already had the upper hand in that rivalry, and I think Kalen DeBoer is a nice coach. But it's tough to follow up Saban, build your own program, and when you're already a half step off where Georgia is. I also think it could be Ohio State or any of the teams that might have to face Alabama in the playoffs, because as good of a coach Kalen DeBoer is, he's not Nick Saban until proven otherwise. We're talking about Travis Hunter being the two-way player. If you guys missed the Colorado-North Dakota State game last night, he was fantastic. I think he was on the field for all but two plays. And as I do, I think we're on an interesting situation with Colorado, because I didn't come away from last night's game feeling any closer to knowing if Colorado is going to be any good this year. Like, I think Colorado and North Dakota State are both just really good teams. I actually really thought both quarterbacks just were tough as hell. Both of them held in the pocket till like the last possible second and delivered great throws. I think if you put Cam Miller on Colorado, I think Colorado probably still wins that game. And if you put Shador on North Dakota State, I think Colorado still probably wins that game if you just swap quarterbacks. So that's kind of why we ended up talking a little bit about Travis Hunter. And it's interesting. Like, I don't know what wins the Heisman anymore. I mean, I do know. Kayla asked us in the break, what wins you the Heisman? And the reality is, I think it's always been this way. It's just, I think maybe I'm more aware of it. Like every award, there is a narrative base to it, and that it is built over the course of seasons. I think what we've arrived on now is that the Heisman should be who is the best player in college football. I think that is the intention of what people think it's supposed to be. I think what it's become is the best player on the best team, or the best player on one of the three best teams. But I do think it should be much closer to the best player in college football. And the reason why that makes sense to talk about Colorado is, after last night's game, I don't know that they're going to win more than six games. They might only be a 500 team. And you factor in that they're going in a new conference. You factor in that I think if you watch that game last night, you saw real flaws up front protecting Shador Sanders. I think that Travis Hunter might end up being, if we just go with who's the most talented player, well, a guy that can be a dominant corner and a dominant wide receiver who could be a Heisman candidate on either side of the ball and now on both sides of the ball, probably to the letter of the law of the original, what is the Heisman, the best player in college football, Travis Hunter is going to have a real chance to win that award. I just don't know when it comes to that award whether they're ever going to give it to a player who's on a losing team or an average team. Because I looked this up. The only player to ever win a Heisman on a losing team was Paul Hornung. So it's been a while. Paul played in the NFL in the 60s. I think he played in college in the late 50s. So that was the last time it happened. By the way, Notre Dame was 2-8. Okay, that's interesting how he won that. I don't know. I'll have to go back and listen to Sports Talk from 1958. But I do think when it comes to this question, I don't think it's as simple as should a team's record impact whether a player is a Heisman winner or not. I don't think it's just as simple as that. Because I think positional importance does matter. For instance, if Shador Sanders throws for 5,000 yards, that's hyperbole, 4,000 yards and 45 touchdowns and has the Joe Burrow season where it's otherworldly stats, but Colorado's a six-win team, yeah, I'm sorry, if you threw for a bunch of yardage, even if that roster isn't perfect, I don't think a quarterback should get that award. Because I think what we judge a quarterback on most of all is whether their team wins or not. And I can understand you'll say, well, it's not Shador's fault that the team wasn't good enough. Well, in today's day and era, yeah, it kind of is. Like, he chose to play at Colorado. I will go ahead and say, as he is the son of the head coach, he probably has some say in the guys around him. I think if you're a quarterback and your team can't get to 500, you probably shouldn't win the Heisman. Now, I will say there have been times where there have been quarterbacks on 8-win teams, 9-win teams, 10-win teams, but teams were not playoff teams or even in the hunt for the national championship, that I think probably had a better case to win the Heisman than, I don't know, whoever the best player in Alabama was or whoever the best player on Georgia was. I think Hunter's interesting because you could sell me this either way. Like, if Travis Hunter is such an impactful player at corner and wide receiver, I know he's a great athlete. I know he has dominant aspects. But if he's so great, you would think he has as much impact on a team's ability to succeed, playing wide receiver and corner. Corner being the more important position to wins and losses because it affects turnovers. You would imagine that guy is as responsible or as close to responsible for wins and losses as a quarterback is. Like, generally, I think when it comes to, all right, what matters most to winning and losing in football? It's obviously the quarterback. Then I'd next say, like, an elite pass rusher. And then I'd probably say a great corner or maybe a great wide receiver somewhere in there. Well, he's both. So the fact that he's probably going to be playing on 95% of snaps in the entirety of the game, I think just adds a level of intrigue to this. 216-474-0092. So we're talking about this. Should a team's record affect Heisman candidacy? Because I think if you're a quarterback, the answer is yes, it should. Winning is part of it because quarterbacks have such an impact on a team's ability to win and to lose. I know college football is not quite like the NFL. Like, Caleb Williams was the Heisman last year. That was a sub-500 team. That was honestly, it wasn't a very good USC team. And, by the way, I said sub-500. I believe they had, I think it was 8 wins. So 8-5. So that's good, but maybe not great. If Colorado got to 8-5, I'd probably have no problem if Travis Hunter was the Heisman. If they were 6-6, I think it'd be a bigger issue. Because much like I said with Shador Sanders, that guy impacts, because he touches the ball on every single offensive drive, that's half the game that he controls with his play. So if you don't win, yeah, yardage and touchdowns matter, but there is the context of how did you win and how did you play when it mattered most. If Travis Hunter's playing 95%, even if he's not getting 20 touches a game, if he's getting 5 to 8 receptions a game, and he's getting thrown at 25% of the defensive snaps, that's almost as much touches, if you will, as a quarterback. I actually think how much Travis Hunter plays probably means team record should probably matter more to his Heisman candidacy than versus any great, just a cornerback or just a great wide receiver. Should team record affect Heisman candidacy? I'll be honest with you, I don't know what really gets you the Heisman anymore. It seems just like if people can agree on something. I think Travis Hunter should be one of the real candidates, but if you play that much, you should probably have a pretty big impact, and record should matter.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Nor Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.